All right, good morning. I will call the order, regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, September 20th, 2016, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again and good morning. First item is public comment number one. We got an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda if there's anybody wishing to do so. Linda, would you come on up?
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Good morning. I'm Linda Merkin. I live at 17185 GW Carver Avenue, Gilbert, Iowa. And I wanted to address the appointment or the process for the county attorney vacancy. I think about 15 people participated in the process for the interim appointment for the supervisor vacancy back in May and June. I was one of those, so I know a lot about that process and how that went. And I really, again, want to commend the vacancy committee that was appointed, I believe by statute, to find somebody as an interim appointment for that. In particular, I remember, and I looked it up, there were about 10 questions. They asked us to provide essay answers, so to speak, on our philosophy, how would we handle certain scenarios. I found that very, very interesting. And they did a very thorough process. They did it for what's basically a 4.5-month appointment. I don't know, all I've seen so far about the county attorney vacancy, which is going to be for a 2-year appointment, is the matrix that you presented at the last meeting.
Which hadn't been approved yet. We're going to discuss that today.
I understand that.
Yep.
I understand that. And my comments really aren't about the matrix. They're about the entire process. I was simply going to encourage to do something similar to what was done with the supervisor vacancy, to really ask people to delve a little deeper, not just what's your experience, but what's your philosophy, how would you handle certain situations, because that, I think, was very useful, I think, to the committee, and it was very useful to me as an applicant to determine would I want to be a supervisor. I don't know if the timeline you have right now gives you enough time to do that. It's a pretty fast timeline. My question simply would be if that could be extended if you decided to have more of a thorough process. I know you're trying to get an appointment made by the time that Mr. Holmes resigned, but I don't know if that's essential. I think with a 2-year, I think a thorough process is really important. So I would just urge you, and if you want to see the questions that we had back in May that the vacancy committee put together, I've got copies.
I have them. Thanks.
You have them. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yeah, Lawrence, come on up.
I apologize.
Is this about the matrix?
Yes, or it is.
Can we do that when we talk about the matrix?
Well,
is that okay if we hold it?
See, that's what happens when you're late.
That's okay, yeah. As long as you're welcome now, but I prefer to talk about it all at one time.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to address anything on today's agenda? Dan, I see you moving. I want to talk to you when we get to the matrix as well, if that's okay with you. All right. Anybody else? All right, next item on the agenda is update from Interpol, led by Sheriff Fitzgerald. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Thank you for this opportunity to present to the Board of Supervisors. As we do things in the Sheriff's Office, we like to give the Board an update periodically on things, especially special things that we're kind of breaking new ground and cutting-edge things that we have been involved in. And about the past year, coming at the end of this year, we'll have been involved now 1 year with having a deputy or an employee detailed to Interpol Washington. And we have today with us the deputy director, Wayne Salzgaber. Saying it, have to apologize, he can pronounce it much better than I can.
I hope he can.
Wayne is the deputy director, soon to be director of Interpol. And we have Juan Manuzo Torres, and he works with Interpol on outreach, federal, state, and local. And we also have Bernard Graham, who's Deputy Chief of Staff for Washington Interpol. And these people have wanted to come out and speak to the board as well and talk about the relationship that we've had with the federal government, with Interpol internationally, and with our office in Story County. So with that, I will give my chair up and have these people come up. There you go.
Thanks, Sheriff. Again, my name is Wayne Salzgaber.
Wayne, welcome.
Very good, Sheriff. I've heard every iteration of that, so again, I'm the Deputy Director of Interpol Washington. On behalf of the Director, Jeff Shank, who is back in D.C. and couldn't make it here today, thank you for the opportunity to come out and address you. We just wanted to acknowledge and express our appreciation for the collaboration and partnership with Story County, specifically with the Sheriff's Office under the leadership of Sheriff Fitzgerald. As many of you may or may not know, Interpol Washington is a Department of Justice agency. It's co-managed by DOJ and DHS, Department of Homeland Security and Department of Justice. We're kind of a unique organization because we have a staff of law enforcement officers from 30 different law enforcement agencies across the nation. That's just mostly federal. Story County is one of those from our local state. We have NYPD as well as PG County in Maryland. So we have a small state and local contingent that we rely on. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a federal agent as well from DHS, but I'll tell you what, from Interpol Washington's perspective, the relationship we have with the state and locals is what we value the most. Why? Because we need to make sure on the federal side that we're connecting up to our local communities and what challenges, the evolving challenges facing by not only our law enforcement officers in the street, but also the communities they police. So again, we're in the business at Interpol Washington of making sure that every officer in the nation, including the sheriff's deputies here and your local police officers here and the state troopers from across the state, are connected up with every bit of information internationally that we have available. That's what this connection entails. Plus, we want to make sure that you, the customers here, are taking advantage of the most of leveraging all the tools and services that Interpol Washington has and the Interpol community. So Story County is connected up directly now to all 190 member countries across the world of Interpol. And again, we exchange a lot of information back and forth with our international partners. We also, Interpol Washington, we benefit from this relationship because we get that local challenge information that we can make our processes and our tools and services better to make sure that the officer on the street has the most up-to-date and accurate information available to them. So again, it's a give and take relationship, certainly. Mm-hmm. I do think that the leadership that the Sheriff's Office has given here and the foresight they've had, certainly with the human trafficking issues that we have, I think Iowa has taken that on as a issue here recently. Fortunately for us, the timing is right. We had the first deputy. I think Deputy Quinn was at Interpol Washington assigned there. We actually assigned her to the Interpol Washington's Human Trafficking and Child Protection Division, which got her involved in the international discussion on the challenges of not only human trafficking, but migration and refugee flows, which is impacting all of us. So again, it's that international voice and discussion with a local tinge to it that we're so searching for. We want to expand our state and local connection beyond the three officers we have from across the country. We don't think it's enough. So that's why this is very important to us to come out and acknowledge that and show our just appreciation for the support and collaboration and exchanges we've had in the past. So, Sheriff, I thank you and the officers of your department, as well as the Board of Supervisors, for allowing this relationship to flourish. It really is a good example for the rest of the country to emulate as we go forward. And not only is it impacting people here in the county, I think, well, you're providing leadership not only in the state of Iowa, but across the nation.
Which the sheriff has a tradition of doing that. I mean, since he's been sheriff here, he has a tradition of showing great leadership from Story County's perspective. So when the sheriff presented this opportunity to the Board of Supervisors, I know the board viewed it as a great opportunity for Story County, not only to lead, which is the tradition here in Story County, but to tie Story County directly to the national and international law enforcement community. And I think that anecdotally, at least, that puts the people in Story County in a much better position than they would be if we didn't have that connection. So thank you, Wayne, and just huge kudos to our sheriff for once again bringing forward a program like this.
Thank you.
and maybe for some of the members of the audience that probably are not aware, you talk about the sheriff's legacy and involvement at the national level. One of the things that the two of us were fortunate to do, working with the National Association of Counties, serving in leadership positions, the sheriff was very active in the criminal justice arena and bringing important issues to the forefront, not only impacted Iowa, but impacted other communities throughout the nation. And some of you probably are not aware, but I will mention it. He wouldn't tell you, but he was past president of the National Sheriff's Association. And during that time, had a chance to go to Israel and other parts of the world to look at security issues and how things were done at that level, and then be able to apply that through the National Sheriff's Association. So not only has he had been an outstanding global leader, he has shared his expertise at the state, federal level, and internationally. And rarely do you find an elected official with that much diversity and willingness to give back in so many different arenas. And as Chira just said, we're very fortunate, very lucky here in Story County to have the vision, the leadership that Sheriff Fitzgerald has given, and the relationship with the federal government in this particular venue, I think, is extremely, again, important for us all.
So now, Wayne, am I correct that Story County's now had three liaisons out to Interpol? Is that the right number, Sheriff?
Two.
We've had
two.
We're on our second.
Would be the third.
We got a third already selected. Is that right? Okay. So you told us about Officer Quinn. Tell us about who we've got out there right now and what they're working on.
Mike Anderson is also there currently. He's in our fugitive division, so we're starting to firm up. But again, the value that he brings both inside our organization, not only as fugitives, which is what we're concentrating on, again, getting a little bit more experience from the local set here across the entire enterprise we have on the Interpol Washington platform. But it's also he's also providing continuity with what Deputy Quinn started with the local outreach across the nation with our state liaison officers across the nation. It was we're starting to be a little bit more active in getting out to the other local jurisdictions and saying this is information is available to you. You're connected. Iowa, fortunately, is federated as one of the only 12 federated states in the nation. So when a police officer or deputy pulls somebody or has an encounter with a citizen, when they run that information through the system, it goes automatically back with one check. That's a good news story. Some other states aren't as fortunate as Iowa is. So we're trying to get everybody else to understand at the local level how important it is to federate with the federal system, our system specifically, so you're available to all the international information. But he's working in our fugitive division, working on that aspects of whatever fugitives. I know we've had some current active investigations now with some of our crimes that happened here in Story County where they fled internationally. He's there now to help facilitate that a little quicker to get back into the service of the men and women of this county. As well as help us nationally with expanding out the leadership that Story County has and Iowa has in federating the more information sharing between international and local law enforcement officers.
Super. Questions?
Good morning, Wayne. Thanks for sharing with us the successes we have here in Story County. Do you have any other successes along these lines to speak to of any of the other counties here in the state?
Not any other counties in the state. I know
the one in the 99
that it's assigned people to Interpol Washington. Yes, there have been other domestic cases that we've helped out internationally from Iowa, although it's not as many as I'd like it to be, because I know it's just a matter of detectives in the bureaus and other people inside the law enforcement community that have the awareness of what services are out there through the Interpol switch that we have in Interpol Washington. That's what I'm hoping that, and I think we've seen some value in it, that the engagement here with Story County will help influence the other state agencies to do that. So no, there's been no other Iowa representatives from law enforcement actually assigned to Interpol Washington.
Good on us.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, congratulations on being named the director. When does that happen?
November 1st.
November 1st, congratulations. Juan, Bernard, thank you for being here. Welcome to Story County. Sheriff, anything else for the good of the board today?
If I can share, we just again as a small token of our appreciation, we want to present something. Sure. This time, just to the chair and
it's a photo op.
Supervisors,
take it.
Photo op.
Come on, this is all three of us.
Yep.
So again, just
have a good night.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good to see you,
Bernard.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Here's the line.
Let's get back in there before I break it. Thank you
yes,
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, officer.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Sheriff, you guys are welcome to stay, but I know you got probably a busy day for them, so whatever you choose.
We're going to stay for a little bit, show them how the government works. In a little bit, we're going to be...
Good, this next topic is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
All right, so next is consideration of scoring matrix for the county attorney qualifications. And I'd like to add to that matrix, so Linda Merkin came up and spoke to us briefly at the beginning of the meeting, and Linda, I would invite you back up during this conversation if you have more to add, but we need to consider attorney qualifications and the possibility of formally adding questions to be answered ahead of time. I think that can be part of the qualification matrix if we discuss and deliberate that. So let's just go backwards to last week. What happened is we set the decision to appoint rather than hold a special election. We determined our timeline. That timeline, for those of you that don't know, is we will accept applications through 10 a.m. on the 27th, which is a week from today, and then the board will gather in a special meeting on Friday, September 30th at 1 p.m. We will hear from any qualified candidate for county supervisor and go as long as we need to go to get through that. And at the end of that meeting, whenever it occurs, it is our intention to appoint the next county supervisor.
County attorney.
Yeah, we've got our county supervisors taken care of right now. The next county attorney. Linda asked if we could delay that process. I think I would start with my point of view and the rationale behind, I believe, the timeline we laid out is county attorney is a vital, vital position. A lot of positions are vital here in Story County, but our current county attorney has indicated that he intends to resign as of noon on the 30th. I really dislike the idea of operating for any amount of time without a county attorney. I think it's a reasonable amount of time to do our due diligence, do our work. I think it's a fairly straightforward process. County attorney, much like sheriff, requires a special skill set. And I think we can get to the bottom of it rather rapidly. Hopefully, whatever questions we come to and preferred qualifications will help us through that process. That was at least the intention when I presented the draft qualification matrix and underscore the word draft. So let's talk about how this was created. I, on my own, determined that I would like to have preferred qualifications that we lay out in front of the public. I don't know exactly what those preferred qualifications are. I know what I think is important. And where I how I came up with this is I looked at Code 331, which spells out county attorney's duties and responsibilities. And then I looked at various other documents, primarily what is required to try a Class A felony from the Iowa Public Defender's Office. And I pulled those together along with some of my personal beliefs of what makes an effective county attorney's office, things like personnel management, being able to interact well with others as demonstrated through your work history. And I tried to put together a sample list of preferred qualifications, presented to the board and the public last week, and have asked for input from everybody. From the public, I've been out and I've visited with multiple attorneys in the community that I respect, asked for their input. Today we're going to get the board's input. I know that you guys have been out talking to people. Wayne, I know you went straight to ISAC with this and asked for their input. We're going to talk about all that. I think I saw that Loris is going to come up and give us some input. Linda has clearly already given us some input. Dan Gonerman has actually a list of additional questions, additional things that he'd like to see on there. And so we need to spend some time and work our way through this one step at a time and make sure that we come up with some preferred qualifications that we, the three board members, agree are important preferred qualifications, and we lay it out there for the for potential applicants, for the public, for everybody to see exactly where we're trying to go with this thing. Linda's right. It's a two-year appointment that we're talking about. It is vital as we move through this that we do it, I think, as expeditiously as possible, but we do it in as transparent and open a way as possible. And I'll just point out one thing, because I've been getting some calls here lately. I'm sure Marty has. Wayne, I don't know if you have. You notice that nowhere on here does it say what party are you registered in. And I want to underscore that, because I honestly don't care. I want the best person for the job, period. Okay, with that, let's open the discussion. We're going to start with the draft screening matrix that I laid out. We're going to work our way through those, and then we're going to go back to additions, corrections, things that don't belong, things we'd like to see. So we'll start there. Wayne and Marty, you guys get to go first.
Oh, I would, on a jump off, I don't know how much the county attorney practices federal law. I would have to have that told to me. I would assume that we would probably not be, that would be something that we would not necessarily be entertaining, or we would have it done on our behalf. So I guess to me that's maybe something I could probably live without, and that's one of the first of the preferred experiences. Right below that, I don't know why we chose 8 years. I would probably be more comfortable with 5, 10, or take another number, but 8 sounds too specific. That's just the two things that jumped out at me right away.
Yeah, so I'll answer both of those. The rationale for me for putting licensed federally practiced law, and maybe that ought to say has practiced in a federal court. There's different rules, different processes. It's a little more stringent. I think it's just one step above, and that's what I was trying to do with the preferred qualifications. I'm fine if that one comes out, if you guys both want it to come out. The 8 years... That gives us somebody who is a little more seasoned. 5 years out of law school, you can easily be in your late 20s. I think there's a difference between late 20s and mid 30s. There's a difference between mid 30s and mid 50s. But that's the rationale behind why I didn't go with 5, why I went with 8. Okay. Wayne, you got a comment on either of those two, since those are the first two that Marty brought up?
Yes. Let me first of all qualify that after the last meeting, I was asked to reach out to ISAC, and many of you are probably aware that I do have a relationship with the Iowa State Association of Counties. I serve currently on the ISAC Board of Directors. So I contacted Bill Peterson, our executive director, first of all, and also Christy Hartsberger, who is the legal counsel for ISAC, and shared the matrix, and then we told them that what we were looking for was someone who didn't have any skin in the game, someone that could just take a cursory look at the matrix that we were proposing to see if it's kind of encompassing what generally is the role and duties of the county attorney's office and so forth. And then I asked the question, were they aware of any other counties using a similar matrix or something of this nature? And to that answer was no. ISAC was not aware. But Bill Peterson, our executive director, immediately says, Wayne, tomorrow both Christy and I will be meeting with Tom Ferguson, who is the head of the County Attorneys Association. And if you wouldn't mind, I will be willing to share this with him. And I said, by all means, because I said, here again, he would have a pretty good handle on what are the duties that encompasses this office, and maybe could help us talk about a wing if some should be given more consideration versus others, etc. And so I'm happy to say that I did receive feedback from him. I certainly realized that, you know, the two things that Marty communicated about, first of all, he said he thought it was good. He said, I don't know of any other
county that's done something like this. He said there's just a couple of areas, though, that I would suggest that you at least consider. He said, I'm not suggesting that you change them or amend them, but it's a consideration. And as we go down through the list a little bit further, I can speak mostly to that. But the one that Marty mentioned was the question about practicing federal law, licensed practice federal law. He thought maybe you might want to consider even just removing that one altogether, in that the number of times that a federal case would come before the county is very problematic. He said it's more likely that this would be referred to the AG's office, but that's not to say that they couldn't be called to be a witness or involved in that particular area. But the actual prosecution would be there, and he said he doesn't know whether or not that would shrink the pool somewhat in terms of how many experienced lawyers have really, you know, had that. I appreciate the comment that you made in terms of how you arrived at least referencing that one. And then Marty alluded to the 8 years versus 5 years. He didn't have a problem with the timetable one way or the other. It's fair that that was pretty much left up to us. I would like to qualify and say that Alyssa, our HR person, and is probably going to talk to us a little bit later, she pulled me aside and said that she had done some looking and discussion of similar communities, Polk County and others, and some of the chief folks there. And five seems to be a preferred list of experience and so forth, and said that we might want to consider that. So those are two things that I think I would like to have more discussion on. And
let's just be clear, this is the discussion portion. This is not the consideration portion. I want the two of you to be able to bring up at least the areas that you want to make sure we discuss, and then we need to go to Alyssa, need to go to everybody else who wants to weigh in.
And there are a couple other areas that I'll get to if you want me to wait.
Yeah, no, go ahead and bring them up now, because I think it helps us with our conversation.
Okay, all right. So, and then in follow-up more with Tom, he said, first of all, he thought that if you go down a little bit further and you look at least 15 child in need of assistance hearings, we call that China, or at least 15 delinquency hearings, again dealing with juveniles, and then you've got at least 15 mental health substance abuse commitments. He says the two, China and the delinquency, if you total those two, they almost equal criminal prosecution, criminal experience. He felt that the county attorney's role, that the criminal experience, should carry some weight. And if you'll notice that this was one of the areas that we might want to bump up somewhat or not. And then he also mentioned the fact that it's important that the county attorney have some background and knowledge working with other governmental entities. In other words, I call it civil representation on behalf of other governmental entities. It could be departments within a county government. He said it's key that they have a good understanding of how county government works. And so that would be something that we would want to...
So does that affirm... Wayne, just help me. Does that affirm the board going on here, civil experience representing a governmental entity, or is it different than that?
Well, I don't know if... let's go. Where is that on?
Fifth one down?
Fifth one down.
Seventh, if you count from the two... So civil experience representing a governmental entity... I don't know if that spoke to what you were just addressing.
Under preferred experience.
Yeah, under preferred experience, fifth one down.
Yeah. Yeah, but he had no points, and that's what he was referring to.
No bonus.
No bonus points.
Yeah, so...
And he felt that needs to perhaps have something there because he...
Yeah, so let's just... Maybe I need to back up and say the way a matrix like this works, at least in my experience, is you either, if you don't have whatever the qualification is, you get a zero.
Right.
If you do have it, you get one.
Right.
And if there's no bonus, it doesn't matter how much of it you have, you can only get one. If there's a bonus, you can get two by reaching the threshold. So it's either a zero, a one, or a two. And we're actually going to talk about that later because Mr. Gonerman has requested even further bonus points in some of these areas. For me, it skews the matrix, and we'll need to talk all the way through. But this is intended as either a zero, a one, or a two. And so for civil experience, it's either you don't have any and you have zero, or you do have some, no matter how much, and you get a one. And that's the way that's intended, but I don't know if it addresses what your concern is.
All I know is that I was told that if after this meeting, if we had additional questions, feel free to reach out to them again.
Okay.
And so that would be something that we can follow up with if we felt it was important.
Okay. And then talk to me about the China and the delinquency hearings. I heard you compare those to criminal. And what I thought out of that was criminal needs to be more important than China. So are you suggesting increasing what we have for criminal, which I believe is 10, or decreasing what we have in China and delinquency, which right now is 15?
Well, his idea was that if you lump those two together, he would say he would lump China and the delinquency hearings together as one, so that the total point value was reduced. And the criminal aspect of it would have a higher, score.
You're suggesting that we consider combining those two,
right?
And would you keep it at 15? So it'd be at least 15 China or delinquency hearings. Is that what you're suggesting?
I didn't think about it in terms of the actual point, but I think the idea is if we put them together, what would we be comfortable with? What would be a reasonable score?
Okay.
That would be my take.
Super.
And let's see, I think that covers the areas. And again, he was very complimentary of the forward thinking the board and you in bringing this to our attention for our consideration. So a lot of times, Story County kind of sets the lead for other counties to follow if something is proven to be successful. So who knows where this will go with the...
let's see where it goes today first, and then we can see where it goes beyond that. So I had two that were suggested to me for us to consider. Again, I've had multiple meetings with attorneys I respect in the area, and I had asked them to go through this list and give comments. And the two that were suggested for us to consider is pro bono work, how much do you do it and how much. We need to discuss that one. And do you have any ethics violations? Those were the two that were suggested to me by attorneys in the area for us to consider.
Okay.
Anything else for, and so we haven't decided anything, for us as we look at this, as we've had conversations, and then we're going to hear from Alyssa next, to talk us through as she's reviewed this.
And it was represented to me, the gentleman I was dealing with is more a corporate law bankruptcy. He said he doesn't have a real criminal exposure, but he said one of the things that he would look for in being a member of the county, he said he was looking at personal management, somebody that actually had the ability to delegate as well as prosecute, and he said that would give him great comfort going forward because he had somebody that had the ability on a demonstrated basis to both juggle their own workload and delegate workload.
And I tried to address that through saying we're looking for somebody with experience managing attorneys and experience managing non-attorneys because it is a big part of the job. I mean, we've got, I believe now we're at 15 attorneys in the county attorney's office, and I think we're either 10 or 11 staff in the county attorney's office. That's a big part of the job, so I think it's vital. I hope Alyssa's going to address that because I know Alyssa's been digging into it. You ready? You come up.
Mm-hmm. Morning, Alyssa.
Good morning.
Hi, Alyssa.
All right. Like you said, I have done some research on this. There are no clear-cut answers because nobody has really, the county attorney has no appointed position or elected position. So anyway, just going through your matrix, my first area was the criminal law litigation experience. While I understand that, 5 years would, say somebody went out of law school 5 years, but you may have somebody that actually practiced in private practice for 10 years before they got into public sector. So I want to just how many years you actually want a criminal prosecution.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to ask the question, how many years have you been practicing as an attorney? That wasn't necessarily put on this. I don't know if you want points or their resume, and the application will obviously let the three of you know how long they've been practicing as an attorney. But that was just one item there.
Okay.
The civil experience, I think that that's an important part, too. I did not understand that there would be points, obviously. There's no bonus points, so I do understand that a little bit more. When I get down to personnel management, those don't address the amount of time that they've actually been in a supervisory role.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. Doing it 6 months versus 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, there's a little bit of difference there, in my opinion.
Do you have a suggestion? I mean, where do you?
When I look at a lot of that, when you're, there are so many different areas that this position focuses on. It's not just management of an office.
And right.
You want to make sure that the county attorney can actually prosecute and has that experience. I would say 2 to 4 years minimum experience.
In personnel management, and then do you like the numbers that I've laid out here, or is that irrelevant? As you look at it as a human resources professional, I tried to lay out that there were numbers attached, right? You haven't been just managing one attorney, you've been managing multiple. And same thing with staff. It hadn't been just one staff member, it's been multiple staff members. What are your thoughts on that?
I think a minimum of 3 is adequate in this situation based on the size of the office.
Mm-hmm.
Just managing one would be a lot easier. 3, you're probably at the low end, but that would be right. The minimum. My understanding is this is just a lot of these are minimum qualifications.
Absolutely.
And it's weighted differently if they have experience, which is greater than what you've laid out as minimum.
Well, size of county and size of office staff and so forth would factor in. A lot of communities, they would not have quite the number here.
Yeah. That's true. Some counties don't have 15.
Right.
We have
right.
workbook for.
And the reality is, in some counties, they're part time; they're not full time. Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of times when I look at that level, 3 or more is probably your minimum.
For the rationale for me coming up with it is, so I have 3 kids. And 3's harder than 2. It just is. you get to 3. And you're dealing with multiple issues, you're juggling multiple balls, and that's the rationale. I'm looking for kind of those minimum preferred qualifications, and
boy, that's how I came to 3. There's no magic to it.
That's just the number that I picked that, in my mind, it tells you whether you have actually managed multiple personnel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Now, I don't know if you want to go through this. The matrix is a good scoring mechanism. But I think when you actually get into the application process, there are some additional questions that need to be asked in order for you to have all the background information that you need before they...
Sure. Well, Linda Merkin brought up that going through the county attorney appointment process, there were some really, really well done questions that they asked for ahead of time. They asked for answers ahead of time. Do we have the capability to put a component like that on the application process? And if so, for me anyway, I would want probably some very general questions that give us an idea of who we're dealing with, but how hard is that to create?
It's not difficult. Actually, I have something that I came up with by doing some research and some different questions that we asked. You're not going to be going through an actual interview, per se, for this position, so you're going to want the information submitted when...
Right, so the intent, as we've laid it out, is that every qualified applicant, and by qualified, I mean in the, not even the preferred qualification, right? The preferred qualifications are supposed to get us to the end of how we make a decision. The required qualifications, I think there's just 2. You must be a registered, by the time you're sworn in, you must be a registered voter of Story County. You don't have to have that to be county supervisor. You have to have lived in the area for more than 60 days.
That's not true for county attorney. And the second one is you must be licensed to practice law in the state of Iowa. Anybody who meets that threshold, I believe, we intend to talk to on the 30th that applies. Then they would give about a five-minute presentation, and then they would take questions from the board to answer publicly in front of everybody. That was the intention that I believe we've gone into this with.
Okay. And I don't know how you're, you know, as far as coming up with those questions, you know, are you going to make them, are they just, you know, going to be asked right there, or are they going to have the questions before they give their presentations? That's something to think about. When I was looking through the matrix and adding a few questions, when we set it up to have them fill out, I would recommend that they fill out our online application. It does ask for criminal convictions. It asks for veterans' preference. We definitely want to comply with, we have to comply with veterans' law since it's an appointment. And then there are just a few, you know, I took your matrix and there are a few follow-up questions that would give you more information than just, like one of them, do you have civil experience? If so, how many years? And then please list the most complex governmental issue that you've dealt with. So they kind of give you a background of that criminal experience instead of just saying yes or no.
Do you have copies of those questions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling this supplemental questions. All right, so let's go through this one at a time, Alyssa. As a suggestion from our HR director, you say submittal requirements will include online application with supplemental questions answered, whatever those are, a cover letter, references, and a legal writing sample. Those are the four things that you would ask for.
Okay.
And then the supplemental questions that you suggest, let's go through them one at a time. Go.
First one, are you a registered voter of Story County? If not, do you plan to be a registered voter by September 30th, 2016? Are you licensed to practice law in Iowa? Are you licensed to practice law federally?
We want to talk about that one. Sure. First two we're not talking about because they are absolutely required by law.
Yep. Do you have at least 5 years of criminal law litigation experience? If so, how many in total? Do you have civil experience representing a governmental entity? If so, how many years of experience? And then an additional question, please list the most complex governmental issue you have dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, have you completed 10 criminal jury trials to completion as lead counsel? If so, how many jury trials in total have you completed as lead counsel? Seven, have you handled 15 child and youth assistance hearings? If so, how many in total? Eight, have you handled 15 delinquency hearings? If so, how many in total? Number nine, list the number of years of supervisory experience you have. And then I have A, have you managed at least 3 non-attorney staff members? I gave examples of legal assistants, paralegals. That's what we mean by non-attorney staff members.
Yep.
B, have you had direct supervision of at least 3 attorneys? And C, describe an example of your management and supervisory experience that best demonstrates your proficiency.
Good.
Mm-hmm. 10, please describe the most challenging trial or case you have handled. Include details on the type of case, the defense, and any other information you feel best describes the situation. Number 11, please detail your experience prosecuting violent crimes such as homicide, domestic violence, and sexual assault. And then number 12, name at least 3 judges capable of discussing qualifications and effectiveness of you as an attorney.
That's
very
good.
I think they're great questions. I think they get to the heart of the matrix. I would suggest that if we decide that we want to add something to the matrix, we would also add a question that relates to that.
Okay.
There may be some additional questions that we have interest in asking, but I really, really like this. The two things that I saw that we would need to consider as it's written here is, what are we going to do with the federal law
requirement that your license practice, we're going to talk about that later, and would we combine number 7 and 8, which are China and delinquency hearings, combine that into one question. I think that's outstanding. Loris, if it's okay with you, you're next, but since we're talking about questions and Linda brought it up first, I'd love to hear from her and see if Linda thinks we're on the right track here, and if you have any and maybe you're not prepared to speak to this, Linda, but if you are, we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, come on. First of all, are we on the right track with what Alyssa has presented?
Yes, I think we are.
Okay.
One thing that, just as I was hearing about it, I'm thinking about other things, just going through it. Number 6, how many jury trials have you completed as lead counsel? It might be interesting to know what types of jury trials those were. You know, they could be OWIs, or they could be other types of cases. And I think a variety, and maybe knowing something about that. And that you might get that in some other questions, but I would just make sure that you ask that.
Okay, so give me an example of how we ask that. I'm interested. I just want to know how we ask that.
Maybe just what types. Maybe just say how many, what the statute was that was violated, what the offense was that they were trying.
Yeah.
It could be OWIs, it could be property offenses, it could be domestic, sexual assault.
So can it be as simple as what types of cases are included in these?
Yeah.
And that gives the applicant an opportunity to tell us all the different types that they dealt with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think any applicant who's really wants a position is going to take the time to look back at the record and itemize that so you have an idea. Rather than just say all types or something like that, and that's something you can look at in scoring, is how thorough were people.
Good. So I've got what types of cases are included in these jury trials.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's for us to...
you might want to say what offenses.
All right. What types of offenses. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
What about just quickly?
Well, how about if I let you come back up, because I know Laura has a list that she'd like to go through.
Yeah.
Completely responsible for all typos. Okay. There you go.
Do you have enough to share?
Oh, yeah, I brought 10 copies.
Okay. So.
Oh, I need one. Okay. Laura Solson, 1705 Buchanan Drive in Ames. Thank you for asking for my input and our input on the scoring matrix and process to be used in your appointment of a person, etc. I won't read it word for word. Okay. As I commented on September 6th, I believe it is paramount that we remember that this is an elected official designed to be chosen by a vote of the people following a prolonged public vetting process. We are not hiring an employee in the traditional sense. Therefore, I am very concerned that the public discussion so far has focused on this proposed qualification scoring matrix and not on the underlying law enforcement philosophies and leadership strategies, which will ultimately dictate whether the county attorney and his or her staff represents the citizens competently, fairly, and efficiently. The matrix, on the other hand, is so filled with specific tasks, including dictating the minimum number of instances in trying certain cases, I think it unlikely that most of Iowa's 98 other duly elected county attorneys would have been able to meet all of them at the times of their first election. Some, with other attorneys on staff to handle certain types of subtypes of the law, probably still couldn't meet them. And this next one I'd like to amend, this next statement here, because Rick has explained part of how he picked some of his numbers. So take this next statement now.
So I shouldn't be completely offended by that next statement?
Not be completely offended, okay. Only partially.
All right.
And what I say is instead they appear to be selected to show preference for an internal candidate interested in moving up. Rick has explained where some of those numbers come from. Some of them are just arbitrary, I guess, or some of them are the minimum.
So, let's just be really, really clear in this, and I don't think I can underscore this enough. Nobody had any input at all with me prior to me creating this. None. Zero. Zilch.
Thank you for explaining.
Yeah.
Okay. Experience and knowledge are important and should not be ignored. In fact, in using the matrix, we should not only be asking how many litigated, but what are the outcomes? I think you're going to hear some themes going here. And if the outcomes did not meet the initial goals, why? I think we should also be asking candidates to describe the experience in working with other law enforcement officials. What is your approach and philosophy about prosecuting major felonies? What are your thoughts on plea bargains? What is your bargaining style in criminal cases, in civil litigation? And then I put a bullet point under here. Describe a case or situation that created a challenging working environment for you. How did you handle it? What was the outcome? Exactly, you know, echoing the list here. Okay. How would members of the public who have disagreed with your legal interpretations describe their interaction with you? What is your day-to-day management style? These certainly will be more difficult to score, but they offer more insight and open the field for others, I think, to vie for this appointment. Once again, thinking that there is a candidate I think that's very interested. I ask that these and other such questions you feel appropriate be put to the applicant in addition to asking them for the 5-minute closing argument presentations. I compiled this partially as a journalist. I was counting as I was sitting there. I've covered 8 county attorneys in my journalism career. Just one here in Story County, but I've been in other states and other parts of Iowa. I put it together as someone who's had a long time interaction with the county attorney's department here in Story County. So thank you very much for the time.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Horace.
Thank you.
Stay there for a second, Horace. So I just in looking through this, and I'm only partially offended, not completely offended.
Okay.
It looks to me like the bullets that you have here, the question, could be, if the board so chose, could be handled through asking for an essay-type answer describing your legal philosophies and how you handle certain situations rather than point by point asking each one of these. Is that acceptable?
I agree. And I mean, with Alyssa talking about the legal writing sample, that seems to meld right with what she said. And even when I listened to you ask Linda for an example on a couple of these,
yeah.
The philosophy about prosecuting major felonies plea bargaining, I've covered attorneys who felt their primary responsibility was to save the taxpayer money. And so every decision made about who to prosecute and who to plead out were based upon the estimates of what it was going to cost to go to trial. I covered other attorneys who do not like to prosecute certain types of offenses, especially rape, sexual assault, and domestic violence. So I like to see that those were listed on the list. They usually are messy, as opposed to somebody took a knife or somebody took a gun or somebody stole property. So, yes, I think that kind of essay, asking them to address these philosophies, will give everyone just a good idea whether you agree with their approach or not, whether, in fact, they understand the underlying issues that they will be asked, he or she will be asked to deal with as a prosecutor, as the top person.
You represent a journalistic approach to this, and I appreciate that, and you have a long-standing presence in the community in that respect. I would plead moderate ignorance in the fact that as when Steve Holmes has been up for election in years and cycles past, I don't remember what platforms he ran on, and at times I do recollect, Wayne, you might help me on this one too, that I believe he's had as many unimposed election cycles as he might have been opposed, and I would wonder what in your journalistic mm-hmm. I'm sure that you were involved at least paying somewhat more attention than I was. What were the issues before? You know, when you say, okay, we're talking about the county attorney, sure. What did this county attorney run on? And to what depth did he plumb or was asked about? You know, I see, and I get this. This is right. What, in fact, the framework of a good county attorney should look like. But I'm just wondering what, in recent times in our county, sure. Was the county attorney asked to provide right. Information about?
Yeah, I came in 2002, so I have covered 4 of Mr. Holmes' elections. The first 2 were against Mr. Gonerman.
his opponent, the last two were against Stephen Howell as his opponent. So I've never covered him in an unopposed election. Okay. The issues that have come up that I covered as a journalist were some questions about management of the office, the environment from a collegial working environment that came up. The last election, an issue that was questioned was whether to prosecute or not the police officer involved in the shooting on Iowa State University. And in that one, Steve Howell, that was a tough one just to cover between Howell and Holmes, okay, the names, but Steve Howell agreed with Steve Holmes that it was appropriate to not prosecute. That was counter to what some members of the community felt. So that came up, I seem to remember, at two or three different forums on that issue. Mr. Holmes has talked a lot and given statistics to prove it about economic efficiency in his department.
That would go to management, right?
So those are the issues that I remember covering.
My comment, first of all, Lars, I want to thank you for putting together your thoughts and the questions that are coming, and to qualifying that you're coming at it from a journalist point of view and having covered some of these, and as a journalist, you also oftentimes get some pulse of kind of the feedback that the public is basically looking at. I would go so far as to say that this is not unusual in any situation. You can look at any case that the county attorneys basically try, depending upon the outcome, you're going to have public opinion that's going to weigh one way or the other. The two high-profile cases that you referenced, I remember a lot of the discussion basically that centered around that. So it's kind of just like us as the Board of Supervisors. There are times that we're going to make a decision that there are going to be some people that's going to disagree with. The important thing is can we articulate why we took the position that we did, whether you agree with it or disagree or not. So I want to make sure that what we're trying to do is looking at a philosophical basis that a person brings to the table in terms of their role of making sure that the citizens in Surrey County are treated fairly, that those who deserve to be prosecuted are certainly prosecuted to the extent of the law. As we all know, sometimes it's out of your hands in terms of you don't know what the judge is going to do or not. And so that may dictate.
Yeah.
And I've had the pleasure in my previous life of serving on a murder trial and understanding, how...
You were a foreman, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I was. You're oftentimes on your own in trying to interpret, the intent of what lies before you. And so the county attorney is presenting their point of view, the legal counsel representing the client is doing the same, and then the instruction that you sometimes get to make your decision is not always as clear as you'd like to have it be if you're on the jury. And so you make a decision. And so what I'm basically alluding to here is that I think that what we want to try to do, and I like the idea, and I think some of the suggestions of that Lisa brought, that Linda brought, and I think you also referenced a way to get at something of the philosophical approach to handling cases would give us some insight. And I do see that as something that we ought to consider.
I think it's great. Lars, I boiled it down to what I think might be one question, and I just want to run it by you to see if you think it addresses what you're trying to get at. So this would be an additional question on what Alyssa has presented. Please address and provide examples of your philosophy on decisions to prosecute,
plea bargains, bargaining style, conflict management, personnel management, and your experience in dealing with law enforcement.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Wayne, for I think Wayne did a good example of showing that the answers itself are not as key as where the thought process goes, and that boiled it down, which is why you're the great guy when it comes to speaking. I write better.
So if we got to that question, that would address your concerns.
I think so. I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Absolutely. Thank you. Linda, one last chance for you, and then we're going to Dan Gonerman. And I didn't mean one last chance. Yeah. If you want to come up again later, you sure can.
I think this will do it. Okay. Something that to me is definitely an omission, and I'm surprised I didn't think of this earlier. Some of my experience. The county attorney's office represents the county, it represents the criminal justice system, that in dealing with criminal offenses, it ultimately is representing the victim. I think it would be very good for the county supervisors, because of that, to inquire about how the applicant has worked or would work with victim services organizations within the community. That would include access. That would also include victim service specialists within our law enforcement agencies, because some have specific people who are victim service specialists. I don't think you need to ask the applicant for those names. I think the names of those people are readily available.
Right.
You're saying you're asking for names of at least three judges capable of discussing qualifications and effectiveness. I think it would be very important that you ask the people who work with victims the same questions.
Ask the people that work with victims about any of our applicants, you're saying.
Yes.
So that would be incumbent. It's not necessarily a question. It's incumbent on the board to reach out to those groups. Is that what you're suggesting? Or is it a scored question, or is it an additional part of this essay question?
It is not a part of the essay question for the applicant. It's incumbent upon the board to reach out, in my mind.
Perfect.
And if you need any information on, you can find that information. Law enforcement ahead of me can give that to you. You know how to contact access.
Mm-hmm. So, work pretty regularly with us.
Right. Yes, okay. And you do. So.
Absolutely.
So reach out to those folks. Mm-hmm. It's my strong recommendation.
Absolutely. But I'm not hearing that is part of the matrix or part of the questions. That's just incumbent on the board as we do our due diligence. So we get the 27th, we know who our applicant pool is. And then we, along with the public, are going to need to do your due diligence on who the applicants are. That you're suggesting that's part of our due diligence once we know who the applicants are.
Yes, but I think it's very important and it'll get strong consideration just because it's not part.
Absolutely.
I think you do want to score it somehow. How are you going to come? It's the question of your process. How are you going to come up with, we think this is the best applicant? If there's something you don't score, how are you really going to consider that?
Yeah, and you just brought up a great point that we need to make sure that we clarify as a board. Is this board, once we adopt whatever it is we adopt as our preferred qualifications and questions, are we saying that we go to the end and we get, multiple applicants, and at the end, one applicant scores one point higher than another? Are we saying, well, that's who we're giving it to? Because that's sure not my intention. My intention is that we clearly lay out for the public what kind of things we're interested in. Then the board takes its responsibility, discusses, deliberates, and ultimately decides who it's going to be. And if we decide to give it to somebody who doesn't score very well on the matrix, we better be explaining exactly why that happened.
And I can understand that person, because you're not going to come up with a perfect matrix.
Correct. Correct.
So you need, and your judgment is going to enter into that. So what you're saying is,
as part of the process,
as part of what we do.
I think I'm comfortable with what you're saying, but I just really don't.
I would also like to add, because I think victim services is an important component that is not addressed anywhere in here. I'd like to add that to the essay question that Loris just came up and talked about. So now it would read, please address and provide examples of your philosophy in decisions to prosecute, plea bargains, bargaining style, conflict management, personnel management style, victim services, and experience in dealing with law enforcement.
I would make a separate question. Not
okay.
Not how you can get home.
Okay.
As I said, the most important customer, so to speak, of criminal prosecution is the victim.
Victim services. All right, services. We'll discuss it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, your turn. Dan sent us a long list.
Just the same as what you ran off, because you sent us email. Okay, I got it.
So I replied to Dan. My reply was I thanked him for submitting this. I told him, and we'll have this conversation right now, that I find this very interesting. I find some of the things that he suggests redundant. I find some of it irrelevant. And I find some of it as things that we ought to really consider. I just wanted to lay that out there that I did, in fact, respond to Dan after he put these forward.
All right. Good.
If you don't mind, I
start by introducing yourself.
Yes, I'm Dan Gonerman. I'm an attorney in Story County. I've held lots of positions here. I've been a defense attorney and a prosecutor for about 10 years apiece, but I've lived in Story County. I was born here, and then ever since high school, I've lived in Story County, except for a couple of years when I went to law school. So, in any event, if I could, I'd just address a couple points on the matrix you started with.
Sure.
I have a federal law license. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's in any way relevant to the consideration as far as giving it any significant weight. I agree with many of the people that have talked about the unlikelihood that you're ever going to use that. I respect your opinion, Rick, as far as what you believe that means, but I disagree with your conclusion. Having a federal law license does not make you a better or worse lawyer. It just means that you go to a different courtroom. There's bad lawyers there. There's bad lawyers in state court. So that's an area that most criminal defense lawyers don't even practice in. It's just you get so few federal cases. That's not
all right. So you're suggesting we remove federal experience, federal law license as one of the requirements. Now,
I'm not saying that you should remove it. I'm just saying I don't think I give it much weight.
Yeah. Well, it's either zero or one.
It's either zero.
So however much weight that is. But let's just go one at a time. So 8 years, and maybe we can deal with all of these at once, because I am adamantly in disagreement that there's bonus points. You suggest that more experience past what we've laid out as a bonus is worth more points. I disagree. Go ahead.
I believe you should weight the criteria that you give towards what the county attorney actually does day to day. And my estimate would be is 90% of the duties relate to criminal prosecution. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's any substitute for experience in that area. And you set the bar at 5 years. 10 years is better. 20 is even better. I think you should be giving experience greater weight than you're giving it.
Yeah, and so I view experience in terms of a bell curve, right? And this is all experience, not just county attorney experience. In terms of a bell curve, and for me, experience has diminishing importance over time. There's a certain learning curve that I'm with you, man. Experience matters. And you get to a certain point, and I think it drops off, and I think that you could very easily start to weight a matrix like this where you're saying, man, if you're not 50-55, don't even bother coming forward, and I'm against that. I want to keep this as open as I can.
I agree. It has to be based on the individual. But there is no substitute for gray hair to some degree either.
Well, as somebody with gray hair, I appreciate that remark. I think that first gray hair matters a lot more than the 400th.
Again, I agree in general that, yes, it limits out.
Yeah.
I'm not twice the attorney I was 10 years ago.
Right.
But at 10 years, I was twice the attorney I was at 5.
I agree with that completely, but yet you doubled the points here for 20 years, and I don't think that that's doubly good.
And again, I've skewed this to my favor, Rick. That's no...
I was going to say, I don't see anywhere on here that it says you should get a bonus point for having a first name that starts with D or a last name starts with G, but it's close.
So again, is this for your consideration?
Absolutely.
I just think that the numbers you used were too low as it relates to criminal prosecution.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, and I think we need to discuss it. The intent here for Loris's partial offending me, the intent here was to keep this as open and broad as we possibly could while still very clearly saying we are looking for more than just the basic requirements. Right. It is important.
And Wayne, did you have something you wanted to tell me?
Oh, no, I was just going to basically say, you know, the points and all of these types of things is always going to be a question or a matter of at what point we could be comfortable with the value that is basically put there. The important thing is that we, through this process, have reached out to a multitude of individuals, and so we're receiving the feedback from each and every one who takes the time to send it in. So I thank you for giving your thought process to this. I would certainly say that one area that I did have concern with, and I alluded to earlier, is that criminal prosecution, in my opinion, is one of the key components here at Story County and in most counties in this day and age. And so how we arrive at that, that's, again, part of the decision-making process that we'll use. So, but I wanted to thank you for at least taking the time to go ahead and fill this out and respond.
So I've got like a dozen additions that you suggest here.
Can I talk about the other part of the matrix first, though?
Sure, absolutely.
So along those lines, I think you've overemphasized juvenile court and the civil duties of the county attorney. Okay? And because, quite frankly, most county attorneys, except the very, very small counties, delegate the juvenile court to someone else.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. I and who I believe is the other candidate here, we tie. We're fine in that area for both. So you're not going to have any differentiation there. But I think it does overemphasize the importance of juvenile court to the detriment of...
But I think Wayne addressed that earlier. He suggested that the two ought to be combined because criminal prosecution ought to be ahead.
Correct. And I'm just saying, you guys haven't made your final decision, but I'm just voicing my opinion
sure.
about that.
That's what you should be doing.
And if I am a successful candidate, I will not be doing the civil requirements, the civil duties. That will still be delegated as it is today. So I do have experience in that area, but again, I think most larger counties are delegating those types of duties to others. The last thing I'll address about what you have up here as far as your personnel requirements, outside of the county attorney, there's not a law firm in Story County that is big enough where you could meet your threshold requirements. The largest law firm, I believe, is 7 attorneys. It's majority partners. I believe they only have 1 or 2 associates. Those opportunities are just not there. I think it also discounts people that are in smaller law firms or solo practitioners like me at this point.
Sure.
I think you have to take into account people's managerial styles and abilities without... And I'm not asking you to remove this, but there should be somewhere else on here you get credit for that if you chose not to practice with 7 or 8 other people, and again, that you didn't have the support staff that you do. In this day and age, technology has removed people, unfortunately. Lawyers do not have the staff they used to outside of government. And again, those are important criteria. I'm not saying you shouldn't remove them, but you should also take into account other people's situations for...
And I'll just refer back, Dan, to the point. I appreciate the point. I view that very much like gray hair, right? It matters to a certain level. And granted, a lot of people aren't going to meet a lot of things on this. It doesn't mean that they don't qualify to come forward. It just means we're looking at these kind of things. And to me, that's an area that should give somebody a leg up if, in fact, they're doing it. So I appreciate your comments on that.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yep.
The last thing about what you've already pointed out is where you guys started from. Just a couple things. Marty, Steve Holmes has always had an opponent.
Okay.
Even when he ran for an open seat.
I pled ignorance for the fact that it didn't rise to the level I was paying
right.
that much attention.
And back to that, I don't think Steve would have had half of these criteria met at the time he ran either. So... most of these things are opportunities you get once you become, you know, a leader in the county attorney's office. That doesn't say that that experience can't come from other places. So.
I agree with that.
Right, right.
Any of the dozen or so that you suggested that you've acknowledged were kind of, at least partially self-serving, that you want to really talk about and think are important?
Let me back up here. Is where I got these criteria are primarily from the applications for judicial positions, for district court or district associate positions, and I believe even also magistrates.
And full disclosure, I'm on the local judicial nominating commission, so I deal with these.
And so I assume you agree with me the vast majority are a part of that process.
Right, but we're not looking for a judge here.
I understand that, but I think the same criteria are important, or similar criteria are important. Talking about putting somebody in a position where the most important aspect of their job is decision-making. Being fair, unbiased, making good decisions, philosophical policies, things like that. And so I would hope you would agree that holding a judicial position is relevant experience.
How many county attorneys in Iowa have held a judicial position?
I couldn't answer that, but I know some have been magistrates before or after they've been
county after attorneys. Is different. After is completely different.
Right, it's not uncommon in smaller counties that everybody takes a turn doing that because it doesn't pay well in those. That somebody will agree to do the magistrate for 4 years and somebody will agree to be the county attorney for 4 years because sometimes it is more of a burden than is a positive experience. So, yes, I believe there are county attorneys today. Well, in fact, I know a couple county attorneys that used to be magistrates. So it is relevant experience. Again, you guys ultimately decide. I've laid out several other aspects of what the county attorney does that I think you should consider.
Hey, give them to us.
The appeals, the civil attorney, the post-conviction relief matters. Post-conviction relief matters are always pending in a county attorney's office. I think we've already touched upon prosecution or defense of a murder case. I think that if you're going to adopt those other questions, that's part of it.
Okay.
I think that holding an elected office previously is a very important experience you should consider, including being responsible for a budget and other things that an elected office takes.
So the Board of Supervisors is responsible for the budget. We set, we allocate.
You're currently not asking the county attorney to submit his own budget?
We talk to him about his budget, absolutely, but they make the decision.
That's correct, but they have to be involved in that process, and I assume you expect them to stay within their budget, correct?
The law says they stay within their budget.
Right. So again, having experience doing that, I don't think can be discounted because that is part of the county attorney's duties and responsibilities to work with and within the budget.
Well, the reality of it is that every elected official office comes and presents their budget projection estimate as what it's going to take for the overall operation. And so that's just part of the process.
I think you should also consider outside involvement. Pro bono cases was part of it, being involved in civic and professional organizations in a leadership role. Again, your peers are electing you to those positions. It is something you should consider. Again, I'm not, if you don't like the points I've proposed, again, that was the system that was started with here. I just made suggestions of what I believe should be important there.
Super.
I would ask, backing out of the weeds here, one of the biggest generators of angst in this process we face as a board is whether to hold a special election or to appoint. Now, you have been a candidate twice. Do you have an opinion on what you would suggest to the board prior to where we have the path we set before us, what we would do?
I think it's always better that the people and the citizens of the county decide who their elected officials are. But in this situation, given the timing of the resignation, I cannot believe it would have been a good idea. Well, let me rephrase that. It would not have been a good idea to spend up to $50,000 for a special election that would have had extremely low turnout.
Okay.
If that could have been combined with an election where the turnout would have been higher, I would have been more in favor of spending my tax dollars for that. But January 10th, also as the date, would also dramatically diminish the returns on your dollars. I just don't think that there's a viable option other than what the board chose.
To my understanding, the county attorney's office is one of the premier operations that the county business conducts, and you work there too. Do you have any comfort having the county attorney's office be in a caretaker role? So if we were to if we had chosen an election cycle, would you have comfort in putting the operation in stasis to get to an election?
Yes. I mean, I think Jessica's a capable leader. I'm not up here to say that she's in any way unqualified. My experience with her has always been very positive. She's a very nice person. I'm going to apply, and I'm going to try to convince you I'm the best candidate, but I'm not going to say anything derogatory or negative towards Jessica because I don't have that information. And I'm going to talk about myself and not other people, but she certainly would have been capable of getting you through that process.
Okay, thank you.
Good questions.
Anybody else who wants to address the board? Okay, seeing none. This is an interesting process to go through. So I'm going to suggest we go through one at a time, the preferred experience and the questions, and we just get to resolution of this so that it's as clear as possible to everybody what's going on. First thing is license to practice law federally. Appetite?
I have none. I think it's been addressed.
You want to take it off?
I will take it off.
Okay. I hear unisons that we're taking it off. Is that correct? It's off.
Yeah.
8 years of criminal law litigation experience. Are we? What I hear is we're talking about that number 8. Where are we?
I would either raise it or lower it, and I would have comfort probably in lowering it because it might increase your applicant pool. We have the ability to bring to us the ability to discern a candidate's qualifications.
Okay. So what you're suggesting, going from 8 to 5?
Wayne?
Or 6. One of those two.
You guys pick.
I defer.
All right, so I'm hearing 6. Are we still given a bonus point for 10 or more? So you
well,
get
if
one
you're gonna,
point at 6.
If you're going to look at bonus points based on experience in other categories and dealing with those, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, look at that, put it there also.
Well, so I think 10 or 12 is better than 5 or 6, and so I think it's a bonus point. I don't believe that 15 or 18 is necessarily better than 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could go then.
All right, so where are we, 10?
10 plus for 2.
Is that right, Wayne?
Yeah.
All right, so here at Unisys on 6 years of criminal law litigation experience and 10 plus for a bonus point.
Okay.
10 criminal jury trials to completion. I haven't heard any comments on that as lead counsel. And a bonus point at 15. Is everybody good there?
I am fine with that.
Names of at least 3 judges capable of discussing. Everybody good there?
Yes.
Yep.
That's either a 1 or a 0, mm-hmm. and we will reach out to those judges. Civil experience representing a governmental entity. Good there?
I do think that, yes, I think I alluded to the fact that my question comes back to is should there be some differential or points at all attached to it? And so that's why I'm...
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, let me just give you an example, and I think Donovan probably is aware of this, or maybe he's not aware of that. Years ago, Story County Board of Supervisors recognized that the volume of work that we deal with on a regular basis needed almost a full-time civil presence as much as possible. Our county attorney filled that void for a set number of years. A lot of times, though, we didn't have as much the day-to-day, but we had the ability to get on the phone, to communicate, to contact, to address some things that needed to happen. It was just a few years ago that one of the things that we asked for was a more full-time presence available from the county attorney's office, whether it was delegated by the assistant county attorney or one of the other county attorneys. And so one of the first things that did happen is the assistant county attorney filled that role at that point in time. So what I'm basically saying is that in Story County, this is an important part of what we do, and our various departments also lean on the expertise of the county attorney in various ways. So I would just wonder whether or not we ought to have some bonus points attached, or if not bonus points, some points itself.
Yeah, and it has points. It's either a one or a zero. Either you have it, one, or zero, or you don't have it, zero. No bonus right now, at least as I've presented it, because I couldn't think of a rational point to get it.
Well, and I guess I didn't. I guess I didn't realize that there was at least a one or zero.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
When I first looked at it.
And I believe that civil is a vital role of the county attorney. I dislike the notion that a county attorney would just completely delegate their responsibility to be the representation of the Board of Supervisors in the county. I appreciate that you can have an assistant who does a lot of the day-to-day, but I know that when I have an issue, when this board has had an issue, we've looked to the county attorney pretty regularly.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I just think it's concerning to me that anybody would suggest that as county attorney they wouldn't have any involvement in civil. So we're good there?
Yeah.
All right. I've heard that we want to combine China and delinquency into one thing, and so I'm suggesting that we keep it at 15. 20 plus would be a bonus point, and that we just put child in need of assistance and or delinquency hearings on one line.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody's good there?
Yeah.
Yes.
15 mental health or substance abuse commitment hearings. Good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, personnel management of at least three concurrent, meaning at the same time, non-attorney staff members.
Mm-hmm. This is a big one to me because when I reached out to a gentleman I have had dealings with on a personal and professional level, he said this is one of the things that you will see a quality attorney be able to do the real mark of the person if they can have this kind of experience. Or if they can concentrate on what is before them and take up and delegate, take up what they need to do and then delegate at the same time and do it in a seamless manner.
So I think I heard it suggested, Marty, that 90% of our county attorney's job responsibilities are criminal prosecution. I think that is ridiculous. I think a huge portion of our county attorney is in personnel management. I mean, you got to have experience with all the other stuff, and hopefully we would have somebody who would take on some cases, but you're managing personnel in an office that size, and I think it's vital. Wayne, thoughts?
I'm open. No, I don't.
Okay.
This one's
same thing with managing attorneys. I think that's separate from managing staff. I think managing attorneys
is
separate.
There's no question.
And additional. Okay. Yeah. We're all good with a 5-minute closing argument presentation by each one of the qualified applicants.
I am, because it's going to be a long process either way you look at it.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get, I mean, when I say 5 minutes, if they happen to run 5 minutes and 30 seconds or slightly over, I don't expect to go 8-9 minutes. I would hope that depending upon their closing arguments, we would not be one of those that will say, okay, we've got to stop.
Yeah, right, we're not going to put a time. We're not going to have Alyssa sitting up front with a watch timing them. You guys get to experience that tonight, where they have the cards that tell you to stop. Now, I'm not interested in that, but I am interested in a brief closing argument. It's important to see, in my mind, how somebody presents.
Right.
So if you guys are good with that, we'll leave that one there.
That's fine. Leave it.
Pro bono work. I think that, as I understand pro bono work, it is absolutely required of attorneys in private practice. I think, as I understand it, attorneys that are prosecuting attorneys do not have the option of providing assistance to others. So I'm fine with putting it in there. We just need to recognize that it's going to separate between private and public practice.
My question is, I think it would be something I wouldn't mind if they wanted to list, if they've had experience in that. I'm not saying it has to be a requirement. simply because, as you say, the county attorney's position and so forth doesn't allow for many of those types of things. But if a person has had that type of experience, that's another, you know, feather in that cap, in my opinion.
So does that become, so we got two areas that we're working on here, right? We got qualification matrix, which you get points for your answers there. Additionally, we have questions, which you don't get points, but you're providing an explanation, an opportunity for members of the public to see what you have.
Right.
Is that more where you see pro bono?
That's where I would see it.
It gives you the contextual feel for their practices they've done.
Okay. So I'm adding that as a question to our supplemental questions without points assigned to it.
Right.
Describe your pro bono work.
Okay.
Good with that?
I'm fine.
Okay. Ethics violations. I don't see that as on the matrix scoring points, but I think it's vital. I think we better know if we got somebody who's got ethics violations. Melissa, did you ask that as one of your questions?
No.
That'd be pretty easy to just put on here, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You guys good with that?
Yeah.
You have comfort with that?
I do.
There you go. I'm in.
Ethics violations. Okay. Alyssa suggested that years practicing, in addition to your criminal law litigation experience, was important. Is that different? Are we looking for somebody that has more years practicing than the? So we said we want six, and you get a point for that, and 10 or more. This is in criminal litigation. You get a bonus point. This is one of those lines where you hate to go down the road of saying 20-somethings need not apply, but this is one of those lines that if you said we need at least 10 years of practicing experience, you don't have anybody under 30, if that's what the board's interested in. I don't know.
Well, I hadn't thought of it that much. I guess I like the concept of the number of years of that they've actually been a practicing attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I think that tells us a little bit about the whole area of involvement in becoming an attorney and any experience leading up to what their current position may be in more recent terms. So, because a lot of times when you're young and starting out, you have you're delegated or given certain types of experience in cases, and maybe in the private sector, maybe in the public sector. And so that's just a kind of a nice little bit of information to
read.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that we add, this is the first addition to, at this point, to our matrix. I'm going to suggest that we add at least 10 years practicing law. No bonus point possibility, so it doesn't matter if you've been practicing 10 years or 50 years. You either get 0 or 1. Does that work for both of you guys?
It's a threshold I'm comfortable with.
Wayne?
Yep.
Okay. Alyssa also suggested years in personnel management. So we suggested a number. You got, if you want the points, you got at least three and at least three. So three non-attorneys, three attorneys. Is there a number of years? If somebody's been doing it for 2 months, does that carry the same weight as somebody's been doing it for 2 years?
No, I want to know the number of years that they've actually done it.
Okay, is it on the matrix? Is it a question? And if it's on the matrix, what's the threshold?
Well, we do have it here on the matrix. And
where do we have it on the matrix?
We have on personal
management. Under personnel management.
Yeah, we got personnel management in terms of number of people that you manage, not number of years that you've managed.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I guess if you're just either it's an either or, you would want to show some time and grade in regards to direction.
Okay.
Because if you were just doing it on a temporary fill basis for an illness, covering for an illness, a maternity leave or something like that, that doesn't really demonstrate to me the depth of time that I believe that you would show competency. So I would probably be inclined to give it a time frame.
Okay. Do you want to add the time frame to what we already have there, or is this a separate component? So what I'm suggesting is, instead of saying personnel management of at least 3 non-attorney staff members for a minimum of X number of years in order to get the point, or is it 2 separate things?
I would be comfortable putting it together.
Okay. And what's that number? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it 20 years? What's the number?
You know, to be honest, I could go either way. I could leave it as is, or I could certainly understand what this was bringing to us and also what Marty's comment. I think both of them is relevant, so I could go either way.
I would think 2 is a very, to me, 2 is a modest minimum.
Okay. I'm hearing that we add to both personnel management of non-attorney staff members and personnel management of attorneys that it be 3 concurrent for at least 2 years.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Good? Right. Mm-hmm. So we've raised the bar in order to get the point there.
Okay.
Okay. So now we are to... we're going to come to the questions in just a little bit. Right now we're still on Gonerman's suggestions. I'm suggesting that there be no bonus of bonus. So Dan suggested that there be additional bonus points if you go above and beyond the first threshold we set. That throws the entire matrix mathematically, and you guys know I like numbers.
Right.
It throws it where it's completely irrelevant because somebody can get so many points in any one area that they jump way, way ahead. I'm suggesting that we don't have any bonus of bonus. You guys good with that?
I would, yeah.
Bonus of bonus. Please explain.
So Dan has suggested that at least 6 years of criminal law litigation experience, that's 1 point.
Right.
10 plus years is 2 points. He suggested 20 plus years is 4 points.
No.
I don't buy that 20 years is twice as good as 10. In looking at this kind of experience. And again, mathematically, it makes this matrix completely irrelevant if you start adding those things in.
Right.
Longevity does not convey competency.
No, that is true.
All right, so then are you good with no bonus of bonus?
Yes.
Okay. Prosecution and or defense of a murder charge. I think we got that now as part of our questions. Do we want that as part of our matrix where you're actually getting points for it?
I would probably leave that as a question.
Okay. Wayne, you good?
Yep.
All right. Not bonus point. 10 post-conviction relief hearings. Is that something that you think ought to score points?
No, I really don't.
Okay.
You know, that's neither here nor there.
It's interesting to me that, okay, so Wayne, you went to ISAC. Marty, you talked to an attorney you trust. I talked to multiple attorneys that I trust. It's interesting to me that this never came up.
That never came up.
Okay, so that one's not going on there. At least 5 appeals. So being able to appeal. So as I understand our county attorney's role, most of the time when we have an appeal, it goes to the AG's office.
Right.
I don't think that's always true. But is this one of those things that, boy, somebody who's got appeals experience is going to be much better than somebody who doesn't?
Wouldn't that necessarily come out in if a person had that background in some of their narrative about their qualifications and so forth?
Sure. I
would think if that was something that I, as an attorney, thought was an important, I would certainly mention it.
But okay.
I don't think it's necessarily
points. Okay. You good with that, Marty?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Speak to us about it.
Okay. Civil jury trials. Boy, you know what? I want a civil attorney that we don't ever have to go to trial. That's what I want.
That would be ideal.
Thoughts?
Speak to us about it. I'm not going to point it.
Okay, no points. Held a judicial office. This Dan and I couldn't disagree more on whether this is relevant or not.
No.
You don't think it's relevant?
I don't think so.
What about you, Marty?
I have no feelings on this one. I don't. To me, it doesn't accord any kind of competence, and I'm kind of using competence as conveyed, spoken, and written as my metric.
Okay. So I'm also going to get rid of presided over a jury trial, because if you've never held judicial office, you've never presided over a jury trial. Held elected office.
Nope. I think, first of all, I think a lot of people coming in, I think it'd be, but.
Does somebody who's held elected office automatically deserve more points than somebody who hasn't at this point? I don't think they do for this role.
For this role, the county judge.
Clearly, they'd be moving into an elected office.
Right.
What do you think, Marty?
I hold elected office.
You hold two elected offices there, partner.
I don't think it accords me or affords me. I have a story to tell, but I don't see. I congratulate anybody that's won an election, but then again, to me, it's just a resume box you check.
Okay. Official responsible for budget for government or organization. This starts to step on our toes just a little bit in my mind. We're the official responsible for the budget for this governmental organization. You guys think it's important? And if it's important, is it worth points or is it a question?
I would defer.
To me, it's more of a question, but okay. I think there again, realistically, it's something that if an individual has had some experience in any budgeting aspect at all, I would think that they would want to make that a key a point of information to share, and for how and to what size budget if they did type of thing. Not that it has to be that important. To me, this is something that's going to automatically take place because whoever comes into the county attorney's office, the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to look at the current structure, they're going to look at the current budget, looking at the positions that they currently have, and they're going to pretty much try to mirror that as much as possible unless there is some unforeseen expenditure that needs to be brought to our attention that they need to deal with. So I don't see that initially standing out as much, but I do think it's something that a person is going to be looking at very carefully because it ties directly with their effectiveness of office management and personnel management and the overall operation. So to me, that's something they'll be able to pick up and do without.
Okay. So I've got it. I've listed it as a question. You guys good with that? It's not points. It is a question.
Not having been through the budgeting process yet, I would say that on the path that we've chosen, whoever would be selected is going to be turning to their budget anyway. We hold the power of the purse, and we negotiate at that point, and I think that's where it stands.
That's a fun process. I don't know that I'd always describe it as a negotiation.
Well, I hate to say I know that when I first ran for office, if someone would ask me how much budgeting experience I had, I would have said very little. I'm managing my checkbook.
That's right. There wasn't a lot in that increase last year, was it? All right. I'm going to combine these three because I view them all the same way. Leadership role in professional organization, leadership role in a civic organization, leadership role in a nonprofit organization. I think it's all great. I don't know that it has any relevance at all in us trying to select the best person for county attorney. That's my view.
It's a good life story. It speaks to civic commitment and somebody that has those qualifications I would like to hear of, and I would commend them for getting them.
Yeah.
But as far as using on the metric, as I spoke earlier to, it does not afford, it does not prove a positive.
Yeah, because, in normal cases, if we were talking about leadership roles and I had points attached to it, I'd have quite a few. So I don't think that people would agree that would be the most relevant task, even though it's important.
It's important. Yeah, I just don't buy that it's part of this. All right, so I'm leaving that both off. Private practice experience, 5 years, you get 1 point. 10 plus years, you get 2 points. I actually agree with this one. I think that having some experience in private practice, there's a benefit there. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I come from a private a background here, only recently in the government, and I would have to say this speaks to my life experience, and I would probably wait this. Yeah. I probably would not. This is my worldview, and that's what I bring to the table in that sense.
Yeah. So you're suggesting we put that as part of the matrix as presented?
I would put that as part of the matrix.
You good with it as it's presented?
I'm fine.
All right. So that's now private practice experience. 5 years gets you 1 point. 10+ years gets you 2 points. That will become part of the matrix.
Okay.
Leadership role in private practice, I think that's redundant. We've already addressed what if you're a leader in private practice, it's going to show up in terms of managing staff. If you're the leader of one, that's I don't see a lot of points to that. Ownership or leadership role in business, I think it goes back to private practice. Dan spoke to the fact that many of our attorneys, when they're in a firm, they are in essence in private. They're in private practice. I don't see awarding points twice for that.
It's been asked and answered.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
Legal articles or books published. I think that's really interesting to me. I think it's irrelevant, but I think it's really interesting to me. I'm going to want to know that as they present, but I don't think it's worth points. You guys' thoughts?
Yep.
I applaud the academic endeavor, but once again, I don't think that speaks to the office that we're seeking to fill.
Okay. That is every single thing that was suggested to us as part of the matrix. Alyssa, did you take good notes? I tried to. You're comfortable with where we are? Does anybody have any question on any of the matrix, what this matrix is going to look like when we leave here? Flores, you're good?
I don't have any questions. That was your question to me, and I have
it's clear what we laid out. Do you think we missed something? If you do, come up here. You didn't suggest anything on the matrix earlier, did you?
I'm going to
respond to the discussion. Okay. Laura, so. As I listened to you discuss Dan Donnerman's suggestions, I heard a couple of comments that caught me back. Mm-hmm. One of them about not having holding elected office before, and we all know that in a campaigning cycle, that is something that I know Wayne points out, and Marty, I suspect you'll probably point out that you've held the position, but certainly, and when I ran against you, Rick and Paul, I mean, you point out that you've done the process. I remember the interview process when it came to the appointment that Lucy Martin originally got after Mary Mosen left, and I remember the discussion. One of the reasons you chose Lucy over Danny Dunham was because Lucy had experience running for office while working. Do you guys remember that? So I think maybe you need to reconsider it as a matrix item. Okay.
Yeah, and so I don't think I entirely disagree with you. I disagree with you about being part of the matrix because that is supposed to very clearly set forth points for anything you've accomplished. I think that's part of somebody's personal history. That could, in fact, make a difference.
Right.
I'm interested in it. I just don't find that it's irrelevant. I don't believe you can tell me that somebody who's held elective office would necessarily have better qualifications to be county attorney in this appointment process.
Yeah.
I do think it's worth 1 point because it comes back to it is an elected office and it shows that this person at some time in his or her life experienced what it was like to serve as an elected official, has actually been sitting there. I guess in a way I'm speaking against me a little bit. I haven't served yet, okay? But it says, hey, I do know what it's like to be sitting there in the hot seat and really, truly having to be responsible. At least on that part.
No, I appreciate that point of view. I don't see personally. I don't see it as part of the matrix. Board, do you wish to rethink our position on that as Laura brings that to our attention?
I find it refreshing that you find service in office, whatever the office may be, as a contributing benefit to any candidate or any elected official. I will take that under advisement. I'll hear about it later.
Pros and cons. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I will try to highlight that a little bit more.
Thank you. Anybody want to add it to the matrix? I'm not adding anything to add to the matrix.
No. I would ask anybody else that wishes to speak.
Yeah, I agree with that. Anybody else wish to address it before we set the matrix?
Well, a comment. Again, I want to thank everyone for your suggestions. I think this is part of the process. We started out, and Rick started out with a suggested draft matrix to stimulate some involvement, and we reached out to many different corners to get some additional input. There is no question the importance of this office and what it means to Story County and the entire legal process requires tremendous due diligence. And for you guys to take the time to share your views, I think is very much important. And I think this is very typical of what we get here at Story County. We get this type of engagement and involvement from interesting citizens that pay close attention to the things that we do. So I just wanted to, you know, maybe echo how much I value and appreciate what you've shared with us.
Governance is a messy process. You are looking at it as we speak. We have not taken up anybody's suggestions. Chairman Sanders, whole class. We have taken from the community. We have taken from affected parties. And we have chosen to bring it to ourselves and use it as the lens that we will see this process through.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Marty. I believe. Well, the attempt here is simple. The attempt here is this board, especially during an election season, is going to get critiqued on lots and lots of different issues. It's part of the deal. It's actually one of the things that makes democracy so healthy is we have the opportunity every so often to really dig in, fairly and unfairly, and critique our elected officials. What is intended for this to do is take away as a fair critique that this board was not transparent or in some way tried to skirt a process in trying to make this vital, hugely important appointment to county office. It's intending to lay it all out there. You can agree or disagree, but it's intending to lay it all out there. In fact, I would challenge our resident journalist candidate if she's ever seen anything that's more open than this process has been in developing the matrix. Again, agree or disagree. And as a rhetorical, I don't need you to answer it. Yeah, it was a challenge. Everybody clear on where the matrix stands today? Most importantly, you, Alyssa. I've got my notes. What will happen is if this is adopted, it will become a public part of this process. It will be out there for everybody to see. Potential candidates, the public, everybody.
Right.
Good?
Good.
So we'll start with a motion to adopt the matrix as amended.
So move.
Second.
Linda, come up. We've got a motion and a second, so this is part of the discussion portion. Go.
Okay, thank you. Maybe you're planning on putting this in the questions, but the two things that I brought up, the types of offenses of criminal prosecution and the victim issue.
Absolutely. Yep. So let's just be clear what we're talking about here. This is the scoring matrix that we said we would consider here. We actually opened ourselves to ask any questions we want as part of the application process, so we don't need that to be part of this matrix. We're going to go through and discuss those right now, and yes, they're on my list.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Anything else that we need to hear of? Yes, Scott, come on up. This is candidate day at the Board of Supervisors. Outstanding.
We get it in the morning, we get it in the evening.
You guys are all getting your vocal cords loose for your first forum tonight. First forum tonight is the NAMI forum at 6 p.m. Is that right?
6:30.
At 6:30.
It's kind of meet and greet type
thing. Okay. At 6:30 at the library. Right? Scott, how are you today? First time you spoke to us.
Isn't that pleasant?
You want to start by telling us who you are and where you live?
Scott Shaven, 2957 Northwestern Avenue.
I just have one question, and more, it's more so of a clarification regarding this matrix. Is this a binding matrix?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I addressed it earlier. Let's address it again because it needs to be clear. It is not my intent. It was not my intent when I created this. Now it rests with the board. It was not my intent when I created this that it be binding, that whoever, you know, somebody scores 1 point higher than somebody else, bang, they're a county attorney and we don't even talk about it. This is intended to lay out to the public what's important to us. And again, I think it does bind the board to a certain extent, where if we have one candidate that scores a heck of a lot higher than another candidate, and yet we go with that lower scoring candidate, we better have a heck of a good rationale. Right? But I do not view it as binding, Scott. Board, I'd ask you to address it.
I would agree. It's not the same thing as taking a bid for a project and so forth, and we traditionally take the low bid unless there are some extenuating circumstances. So I put it in the same context.
Having had the opportunity to hire multiple administrators using very much the same format, I say I would count as one of my greatest successes hiring the second place gentleman that serves in the main schools right now, without getting too specific.
That's
that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to grandstand?
Go.
No.
You want to give your speech? I've heard you talk about burning your bed and breaking your plate and all of that.
Oh, I can talk.
No, let's go. Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the matrix as amended?
No.
Okay. Can I have a motion to adopt? I don't think we ever got that.
I would so move that we adopt the matrix as it was.
As amended, I think that did. That was the original
motion.
You
did.
Okay. Yeah, that
okay.
was the motion.
I told Linda, Linda, you threw me all off. That's all right. Further discussion?
No.
Clinton?
Aye.
Chee?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. The matrix is adopted. Alyssa, how long before we can get this out as adopted? This afternoon? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now we're to supplemental questions. We're going to go through these one at a time. Hopefully it's not going to take us long. We've got a couple areas to discuss. Are you a registered voter? We're not worried about that one. It is required. Are you licensed practice law in Iowa? We're not going to worry about that. That's required. Do you have at least 5 years of criminal law litigation experience? If so, how many total? Everybody good with question number four?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm sorry?
Yes,
we decided on six.
We decided on six.
Yep. Do you have civil experience representing a governmental entity? And if so, how many years? Please list the most complex governmental issue you have dealt with. Everybody good with that one?
Yep.
Yes.
Have you completed 10 criminal jury trials to completion as lead counsel? If so, how many jury trials have you completed as lead counsel? And B, what types of offenses are included in those trials?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yep.
Linda, that addresses one of yours.
Mm-hmm.
7 and 8 would get combined. Have you handled at least 15 child in need of assistance or delinquency hearings? If so, how many have you handled? Everybody good there?
Yes.
That takes care of number 8 as well. List the number of years supervisor experience that you have. Have you managed at least 3 concurrent non-attorney staff members? And have you had direct supervision of at least 3 concurrent attorneys? Describe an example of your management supervisor experience that best demonstrates your proficiency. Everybody good there?
I like all of those.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa, sure.
You added the minimum requirement, so I just need to add for minimum 2 years at the end of both of those questions.
Oh. List the number.
Yes.
So have you managed at least 3 non-attorney staff members for a minimum of 2 years?
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
That's how
yes.
Yep.
Did I get
yep.
that noted correctly in the matrix
yep.
that you wanted
yep.
a minimum of 2 years?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just need to add that same thing with those.
Perfect. And then you ask how many years? Perfect. Everybody good there?
Yeah.
Good there.
Okay. Let's see. Please describe the most challenging trial or case you've handled. Actually, I want to stop there. I want to hold that one for just a minute. I want to go back up and say, new question, please describe your budgetary experience. So that would be after supervisor experience, please describe your budgetary experience. Everybody good with that?
Under nine, you mean?
Well, this would be a new question after what is currently listed as number nine.
That represents the discussion we had.
Right.
Yep. Everybody good with budgetary experience?
Yeah.
Again, we don't need a motion on these because we left ourselves open to ask whatever questions we want to ask.
You bet.
Describe your pro bono experience.
Okay. Yes.
Everybody good there?
Yep.
Do you have any ethics violations?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Please describe the most challenging trial or case you've handled. Include details on the type of case, the defense, any other information you feel best describes the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Please detail your experience prosecuting violent crimes such as homicide, domestic violence, and sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Name at least three judges capable of discussing qualifications and effectiveness of you as an attorney.
Yep.
This is a good one. Yes.
Interesting.
New question. Please describe your personal philosophy of victim services and how those are provided.
Philosophy?
That's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
This is a new question.
You repeat the question.
Sir, please describe your philosophy of victim services and how they are provided.
Yep.
Everybody good there?
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. And then finally, please address and provide examples of your philosophy on decisions to prosecute, plea bargains, bargaining style, conflict management, and personnel management style, and please describe your experience in dealing with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with those? That's an essay question.
That's an essay question. Yep, excellent.
Do you have that written?
You got it.
And this will be part of the application process.
Yeah, so do you want me to go through just
give a brief overview of what's going to happen.
Okay, so we do use an online application system, so it will have our regular agency-wide questions about every applicant do that. They'll have the ability to attach their resume to the online application, attach their cover letter. Those will be requirements. They can't submit it without those two documents attached. As far as references, it will be noted to list those on the application. There are spaces in there to do that. The other thing is all these agency-wide questions, the special questions, they'll have to put something in those questions to answer or to submit that. So you'll actually get something. So we won't get an application that has all those questions blank.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could put one letter in there and submit it, but then we'll have to have something under those questions.
Okay.
And I know I mentioned that the requirement of the resume and the cover letter. Did you approve that? I just want to make sure that I didn't. You want those attached to the application?
I think it's part of the application process.
And also the writing sample they'll be able to attach.
Okay.
So it'll be one document that they electronically submit.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll kind of all be a package deal there for you guys to look at.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody good with that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the nuts and bolts of the application process. Does anybody have any questions about that application process or the way we're proceeding? Applications will open tomorrow morning.
I can set it up a lot of times when they're online. If I give it the date, it opens up at 12:01 a.m.
Okay. So they'll open. Alyssa will go to work on this and they'll open up.
I have one question here. It's on the 5-minute closing argument.
Yep.
When we sit there and we provide additional pointing systems, and I would have to say, are we going to, because you have 0, 1, or 2, is that on according points, are we going to do that on a roll call vote? So if we have to be in agreement, or at least in the majority, to afford extra points, how do we do that?
I think I can give somebody 0, and you can give somebody 2, and we just explain why we got where we got. Hey, we're on the hot seat here. We figure this thing out, and my suggestion is that point system is going to be part of our discussion of whatever candidate just presented to us.
I see. Okay. I accept that. No, that's my opinion. It's my opinion.
I can
I live with it.
Okay. Good. So 12:01 tonight.
Yep.
Application process will open with all of this laid out. We will accept applications up until 10 a.m. next Tuesday.
Correct.
You will come to us after 10 a.m. next Tuesday and tell us who the candidates are. We won't discuss them at that point. We will just know, and everybody will know, who the candidates are at that point. And then we will have our meeting eat a good lunch on Friday, because it will be a long one. Friday at 1 p.m. we'll have our meeting.
Okay. Just two things to note, they will be locked out. They have to be submitted by 10 a.m. So if you're in the process and you haven't hit that submit button, that won't be there. The other thing is if there's anybody that needs, I think in there you said they can do it online or they can do it in person. If they come in to do it in person, they will sit at a computer and do it in person in our office, in the Human Resources office.
So they have
that ability to do that. If they have questions with anything.
Something different than we normally operate in Human Resources is every single piece of information that comes in here is public information. We don't do that normally with our human resource stuff. All of this, and I'm going to want it to be public as soon after 10 a.m. on the 27th as we possibly can, because I want everybody to have access to the same information before we walk in here on the 30th.
Right.
What will we do in terms of a public information search? So I know that I am going to look up and see what I can find about any applicant. I'm looking at everything. I don't really care about speeding tickets or public drunkenness or anything like that, but it's important, and I'm going to make sure it's part of the record. I absolutely care about lawsuits. If somebody's been sued, I want to know about that. I'm going to see what I can find. I'm going to make it part of the public record. I absolutely care if the Supreme Court has weighed in on a candidate and suggested something about their trustworthiness or statements that they make. I'm going to make sure that's part of the public record. How do we do that? Is that as simple as me digging it out and presenting it? How does that happen? I want it for every candidate.
For every candidate? Yeah, I don't...
I wanted to say... The one statement that you made, and I know maybe I'm missing the boat, but public intoxication or driving under the influence as an elected official does carry some interesting dynamics. And I don't know how you kind of basically look at that. Obviously, one time, I don't think that's grounds to remove a person from office, but a history of dependence can be a factor in some cases. There have been a couple cases that I'm familiar with, but I'm not going to suggest that they would be disqualified, but I would want to know whether or not they've gone to AA or taken some steps to, you know, correct whatever the dependency that they might have. So what I'm suggesting,
Wayne, is this stuff is important to me.
Right.
It matters.
Right.
Right?
Sure,
so matters. So for me, I'm really interested in somebody's experience. Well, we're getting to that. Somebody's philosophy. We're getting to that. I want to dig in and try to figure out somebody's work ethic. I want to get in and try to dig out as much as we can of somebody's character.
Right.
That's the role that we've taken in this.
Sure.
Right. We said we're going to appoint.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We can go beyond what happens in a standard election, and I intend to. I'm taking this really, really seriously.
Right.
We're getting heat. We're going to get heat. That's fine. That's part of the job. But I'm really interested in this stuff, and I want anything I find, by virtue of me finding it on a public computer back there, is public information.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting that we're going to divulge anything that is not public information, but we're going to do the work to find the public information, and then we're going to lay it out there easily. How does that happen?
If it's public information, my understanding is we don't have to have a release. I mean, if you can
find
that, if we're gonna run a true background check, there are certain things that you would need a release for.
Right.
But the information that you're talking about,
we wouldn't need a release for. But you bring up a great point. So as I remember, and I'll look to the four of you were candidates for the appointed position. It seems to me that one of the caveats that Lucy, Renee, and Stacy put on it is we would do a public background check prior to the appointment. Well, in this case, the appointment's going to occur as soon as we're done. So does this board want to require that every single applicant sign the waiver so that we can do a full background check on them?
That's up to the board. Now they are to
appoint somebody and then find out later who just appointed somebody.
I agree.
Now they are to, on our application, they have to list the convictions that they've had.
Sure. But so does your background check do more than that?
It does a social security trace, different things like that.
Okay. I'd suggest that we require every applicant to sign that waiver so that we can dig in and look at that information. Then would that information then necessarily become public? So that's the one part of this that can't become public. If it's private information, we would just have it. But we wouldn't share that as part of our... So we would have the information, but we wouldn't share it as part of our rationale by why...
Pass the background check. Now, there are certain information that would be private in a background check that would not be subject to...
So our statement would be this person did not pass the background check, and that would be the extent of it?
That would be my recommendation. There are a few... I mean, it depends. I don't get a lot of information. I outsource the background check.
Morris, you can go ahead and sit down. You don't have to get up twice.
To a company. We do have certain positions that we have our sheriff's office do that background check also.
Right.
So that would be a question as to who do you want, what type of background check do you want
to do. I would suggest that have the sheriff, how thorough is what the sheriff does?
It's more thorough than what I have.
We can at least use Interpol, we found out today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would just, all our complete application process says you will be subject to a background check. So it's all laid out there.
Right, but we've got to have everybody sign the waiver. Yep. Can they sign the waiver electronically, or do they have to come in?
They can sign it and attach it.
Okay. Laura's comments.
Just as this discussion was occurring, going back to the supervisor one, the question was that they asked us in the questions, did we have anything in our background that might embarrass or reflect poorly on Story County? And, of course, I pointed out I had a bankruptcy from 30 years ago in a divorce, and it wouldn't show up anywhere. And I'm 19 years almost AA, okay, sorry, that's breaking into anonymity, as a recovering person, which wouldn't show up anywhere because I very fortunately never got arrested. I should have on OWI, but I didn't. So I just am asking you a little bit about, do you want to ask the applicants that, just in case something doesn't show? Because
yeah, I really like that question.
I like
that. Anything that would embarrass, but it doesn't preclude doing the background check.
No, but I just, as it sounds like what you're after here is you want to do a very, very thorough vetting that normally would be done in the election process by the opponent, if nobody, you hope, okay. So I just wanted to point out that it's possible to have incidences or
everybody's good with adding the question that they had for every supervisor candidate, is there anything in your background that you would like to disclose that would be potentially embarrassing to this board or the county were it to come to light? Ask that question, but we're also going to do the background check.
Asking on an application, you're going to ask them.
We're going to ask it as part of our questions that we put out. So that's an additional question to what we just laid out.
No, if I remember correctly, that came up at the hearing itself. I don't think that
was a hearing question.
That was a hearing question.
Yeah, it was a hearing question.
It was a hearing question. It was not a part of the application process.
It was what the three of them asked as they were asking additional questions.
Right.
Okay. No question is part of this thing, but we are doing the background check.
Right.
What we find in the background check is not public information will remain private information, but it could be a disqualifying factor.
Correct. And the release itself would be.
I hope we don't get into that.
Holy cow. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Anything else for us to determine? Did we get to the end of laying out what's going to happen? It'll close as of 10 a.m. on the 27th. We will put you at the end of our agenda on the 27th so that you can come and tell us, last thing, Shelley, who our applicants are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then all that information will become public. Everybody good? We can move on from this.
Yeah.
That was a good conversation. We're going to take a 5-minute recess, and then we're going to come back and finish this thing off today. Dan, we got another 15 minutes, but I would love if you and I could spend 5 minutes together when this is done, if you can stick around.
Sure.
Okay. We entertaining enough for you today? You've been worried that we haven't been entertaining. You can't. All right, so before we'll come back into session. You ready for me, Shel? Before we move on, Linda Merkin just rightly pulled me out in the hall and was concerned about the question on victim witness. She did not intend, and I think accurately, that she did not intend that it was asking for a critique of things like access and how victim services are provided. I will make sure I will work with Alyssa. The intent there, as I believe the board put forward, was for the applicant to describe their philosophy on how victim services are provided, not to critique what current agencies are currently doing. We'll make sure it's clear. Thank you for bringing it up.
Very good.
Absolutely. Now we are to public hearing items. No, we're not.
No.
We haven't gone through.
No.
We haven't done anything.
No.
Have we done the pledge yet? Did we do the pledge?
Not much.
Consideration of minutes from September 13th.
Move approval as submitted.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's all three of us. Consideration of personnel actions as listed. The only thing that I'll note is that is a 2% merit-based increase for our board, our director of health, Margaret James. I completed her application. She actually hasn't signed it yet, but I completed her review, and we're lucky to have Margaret.
Okay.
She is good.
Personnel actions.
Move to approve the personnel action as listed.
Second.
Discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims. 922.
Move to approve the claims as listed for September 22nd, 16.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims passed. Consent agenda. Board, please add road closures 1714, 1715, and 1716, and utility permits 17024.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
Motion and second. Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent passes. Now we made it to public hearing items. This is second consideration of Ordinance 242, amending Chapter 8 of the Urban Renewal Story County Code of Ordinances. This is laying out what we're adding to our urban renewal plan. This is a continuation of the discussion of our support of smaller communities. It actually is adding some wind farms to the urban renewal plan. We discussed this ad nauseum last week. Before we get to public hearing, Leanne, high point it for us.
The only thing I'll point out, as I did last week, there are several properties being added to the table of the properties that fall under Chapter 8 Urban Renewal, and quite simply, that's all this amendment is adding these new wind turbines, seven turbines, to that list of properties.
Super. Questions for Leanne?
Yeah.
All right, I will open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone who would like to address the board. Arden Greiner was here earlier today. We would be remiss if we did not acknowledge Arden's complete opposition to TIF and all things entailed by TIF. He is consistent on his viewpoint. He has come before this board again and again expressing that he does not like this program. Here recently, what he has gone to is he's gone to looking not only at the county's TIF program, but each of the cities, their TIF programs. He is questioning why a community, and I'm going to use Huxley because that's what he mentioned to me before our meeting started, why a community like Huxley would TIF their citizens and the county would provide some TIF dollars to Huxley to do other projects. I hate that Arden wasn't able to stick around long enough to give us his feelings on this. I know he would. I told Arden that I appreciate his point of view. He's consistent in his point of view. I happen to disagree with it. I believe that this program directly has completely benefited many of our small towns, and I think there is real value to that for the county. I think the projects that our medium-sized towns, Huxley, Nevada, and Story City, do as part of this benefit their citizens and our citizens and benefit the community. I think there's a real benefit there to Story County. That's my opinion. I want to make sure that Arden, he's consistently here. He's consistent with his message. I want to make sure that he gets represented in our minutes, that he would be here to oppose this consistently. Anything to add, Leanne? I hate that he couldn't stay.
That's fine.
Okay. Anybody else wishing to address us on this?
What?
I said minutes. I got Shelley all fired up. I'll close the public hearing. I'll turn to the board for action.
What's the date on the 3rd?
3rd is the 27th, next Tuesday.
Okay, I would move ordinance number 242, amending Chapter 8, Urban Renewal Code of Ordinance, and set the 3rd and final on September 28th.
27.
I know that philosophically I
second it first and then we'll talk about it.
I second the motion.
Perfect.
Philosophically, I have been on both sides of TIF. I have been a recipient of what I believe to be TIF zones established in the Nevada School District that did not necessarily work as well managed as I would like, and we've had to negotiate them out of existence. This, on the other hand, I welcome the boards as they took it upon themselves in 11, 12 to bring this into being, and was, as you can see, the Nevada School District will be affected on this vote too. It is serving a greater good. I mean, I read into the meeting minutes last week a letter from the Collins mayor speaking on behalf of a outlying community and what it does to them to provide dollars moved throughout the county. The tax takings are such that the school districts are made virtually whole while you have a lessening of the dollars recouped on a small scale to the county and the townships. I think the greater good is served by doing just what we're doing. I'd like to see it continue, and I'm happy to be able to say I will vote to do this.
Super. Thanks, Marty. Any comments, Wayne?
Nope.
Clinton?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Ordinance 242 passes on second consideration. Third and final consideration is set for next Tuesday, the 27th. No additional items. No agency reports. Departmental report. Reports. County outreach and special projects. Quarterly reports. You go.
I'm going to be very fast because the presentation was on the agenda. I'm going to talk about the main areas of my work program, starting out with the implementation plan for the C2C plan. As on the board is well aware of, and those in the audience, the C2C cornerstone capstone was approved in June. This last summer, and the implementation plan is scheduled to come to you in October. There was a work session a couple weeks ago, a joint work session of the Conservation Board, Planning and Zoning Commission, and Board of Supervisors reviewing the draft implementation matrix. We have tasks and strategies that are immediate, medium, and long term, as well as annual ongoing tasks. And again, this will be brought to you mid October. Next communications plan, a bunch of items that I won't really go into in great detail. I do want to just highlight that a couple meetings will be scheduled here in the next couple weeks. Our quadrant meetings for this fall in all four quadrants of Story County, scheduling those towards the middle of October as well, and the annual meeting with school district officials. We are in the process of updating our county services sheet. If you enter all county facilities, it's that poster that's right, usually by the main entrance. It's updated with the closure of CLP, and that's still on there, but then enhance it with the additional services being provided. And I do want to highlight we had a very successful United Way Day of Caring for Story County employees. I had about 20-plus employees working throughout different shifts, various locations on Friday, September 9th. Connect Iowa, I'll talk about in the future. I'm still plugging away on different projects. It's been a very busy quarter on floodplain management, largely due to the Dakota Access Pipeline project, but also a number of additional projects or applications, including a house, construction of a house in the floodplain does require some additional review and application materials, and those are pretty time-consuming. But just in comparison, year-to-date applications, this year we've had 44 new floodplain applications. That was up from 11 last year, 32 in 2014, 16 in 13, and 35 in 12. So it is an ebb and flow, no pun intended, talking about floodplain management. But it does. This year has been extremely busy, and I'm afraid there's a few months ahead of me yet, too. And the really number I want to get you down to is total pending inspections I have. I have 28 structural and 25 non-structural. Those can take a considerable amount of time to go and do so that the board and the public is aware I may not be in the office. I did conduct internal training for staff on September 2nd. Had a good group show up. It was 30,000 overview. And what is floodplain in Story County, and And I'll repeat that and then do some more delving into greater detail after the beginning of the year. Economic development, again, this was already presented on the agenda, but the only thing I do want to highlight is this year I've taken on some additional responsibilities in doing annual reporting on what our TIF districts are, working with the county auditor's office. So I have a little bit of a learning curve on that, but I'll successfully do that. And then I was very pleasantly surprised to hear that I was approved to sit for the CECD exam. That's the Certified Economic Developer exam. I'll probably be doing that in the next 18 months or 2 years. It's very low pass-fail rate, so I'm a little hesitant that I know I will succeed. And then working with Marty and Drew Camp on some technical assistance to the Full Economic Development Group. Celebrating this slide, the KUCOG was approved by the board last Tuesday, but that does not mean and declare it as a program, not a plan. I'm working on right now identifying the right vendor to be able to make copies of the confidential document and get those distributed to all the elected officials and department heads. I'll then go out and hand deliver them and try to meet with staff at staff meetings if the opportunity exists. And then earlier today I was putting together the schedule of the plan action items. I'll be bringing that to you in the next couple weeks with an update to my work program. Miscellaneous, I just want to talk about the blood drive that we had here in this room a couple weeks ago. We had 30 presenting donors and 34 units. They were so pleased with our outcome. And they definitely want to continue to partner with Story County. I did successfully close out my year to the APA Ambassador Pilot Program. And we'll probably look at that in the future, but I have enough irons in the fire then to continue that right now. Strategic plan review is underway. This will be coming to you next Tuesday, hopefully, if not the following week, since it seems like next Tuesday may be a heavy agenda. Where are we? What do we need to do to continue marching forward? And then what lies ahead? Lots of things on the horizon, either currently or I know they're coming at me. I do want to just share the very great news that we received late yesterday that Story County Planning and Development, and then my position has received the Planning Agency Award from the Iowa APA. I have to read this. The award honors the work of a public sector planning agency that has continually produced a program of exceptional work that has elevated awareness about planning. The presentation will be Thursday evening on October 20th in Burlington, so I'm sure Jerry will come back with a nice award of our accomplishments.
Outstanding.
Are there any questions? I
had
that little information in there.
And I know that's in matching reference earlier with the ISAC grant dollars that they gave was considered for Action Action Awards. Would this C2C plan be something that a year from now you'd want to submit for possible consideration?
I think we might. If we did, we'd drill down in just the implementation matrix.
Right. Okay. There's something to throw out there for whoever is sitting around here, but particularly they're looking always for innovative ideas coming from counties and so forth. So I would suggest that you consider that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Questions?
When asked, what does your job entail? I often retell the story about the quality of people that I work with, and Leanne, you're one of the stories I tell. You and Jerry have opened my eyes, pointed me in directions, and provided me with depth and breadth of what it takes to run a county. And I want to say thank you as a citizen of Nevada and as a supervisor of Story County. Good job.
Yeah, I'd echo that, and I'd simply say that there were some very real questions when this board decided to create this position. I think anybody who gives a fair look at what we've accomplished as a county because of this position and because of Leanne's work in this position, anybody who gives that a fair look would say Story County has greatly benefited from this. And Leanne's favorite job responsibility is other duties as assigned.
I love it.
All right, anything else, Leanne? Anything else? Thank you. You're doing a great job.
No other reports. Public forum two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. The board may not take any action due to the requirements of the meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody? All right. Liaison assignments. Wayne, this is the committee meeting update.
Pat, to remind all that the Regional Governance Board will be meeting this Thursday. Marty's going to be sitting in for me. I will be leaving tomorrow for Cedar Rapids, the Iowa State Association County Board of Directors retreat will be taking place there.
And I've got Second Judicial this Friday.
Right. Right.
Marty, any updates?
Dovetailing off of what Wayne said, I have that meeting on Thursday in addition to we have a meeting this afternoon of the Stewart County Recreation Task Force in seeing where the community is at and looking for direction and location.
Outstanding.
Good.
Announcements, Wayne.
Pat.
Marty. NAMI Forum, 6:30 tonight at the library. All citizens should show up and be interested. If nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned.